Thanks for downloading this special edition of The Inquiry, featuring, for the first time, just one expert witness. You'll see why. We have an ideas meeting for The Inquiry every week. We sit by the window, notebooks in hand, talking, sometimes arguing. We often discuss things we've read. And lately, we found our conversations have been coming back, again and again, to some big ideas we found in two books in particular. Eventually, it dawned on us. Let's just interview the author. Yuval Noah Harari has written the best-selling books Sapiens and Homo Deus. He's a historian who looks to the future.
You don't study the past for the sake of the past. You study the past in order to understand the present and the future better.
Technology, he thinks, could change not only our world, but our species. The changes he describes could, among other things, create new winners and losers and exaggerate the differences between them. In other words, technological change could massively amplify inequality. We asked Yuval Harari to tell us how he thinks that could happen, and he agreed. So we have only one expert witness this week, but he has plenty to say. It's speculation. No one can predict the future, and what follows might never happen. But then again, it might. And that's why we think Yuval Harari is worth listening to. I'm Ruth Alexander. This is The Inquiry.
Part 1. A Natural Order.
We have very clear evidence of substantial social inequality going back to the Stone Age.
Inequality, Yuval Harari says, has been a feature of every human society.
In a place called Sungir in today's Russia, archaeologists found graves from 30,000 years ago of a mammoth hunting society. Some graves were incredibly rich. You had like one 50-year-old man buried with thousands of ivory beads and little statues and jewelry and things like that. And then some other people just got thrown into a hole with almost nothing.
As human societies progressed, inequality deepened.
One key moment is the agricultural revolution, when farming starts. And suddenly, humans have a lot more property.
Property creates inequality because it allows landowners to profit from the efforts of others. And that inequality can be lasting because privately owned land can be passed on from one generation to the next. Yuval Harari says that was apparent from the earliest days of farming. Although agriculture seemed like a way to improve the lives of everyone, that isn't how it worked out.
In most cases, all the food surpluses were monopolized by a very small elite of warriors and priests and aristocracy and the king. So if you were a king or an emperor, life was much better than before. But for the average peasant in ancient Egypt, life was actually much harder than 20,000 years earlier as a hunter-gatherer.
Inequality continued as a fact of life for centuries. Some societies, some periods, were more equal than others, but for most of history,
most cultures viewed inequality and hierarchy as something natural and something even moral, often sacred. It was a sin to try to flatten the hierarchies of the society or of the family.
But then,
you have the 19th and 20th century, which is the great age of the masses. Suddenly you had a situation in which the state and the elite needed everybody.
They needed people to work in the vast mills and factories of the Industrial Revolution and to fight in rapidly growing armies.
You have this emergence of massive military machines that rely on immense numbers. It's not an army of 100,000 like in the past, it's an army of millions. Suddenly, governments are investing heavily, building schools, providing free education, building sewage system, providing vaccinations, not because they are nice, but because they know that if we want a strong army and a strong economy, we need millions to serve as soldiers in the army and as workers in the factories. And this economic and military necessity gives power to the masses.
The workers demanded rights and got them.
Equality becomes one of the main values of human culture almost all over the world.
So the masses got the power.
But they are losing it now. And they are losing it now partly because the technological situation is changing.
So you think technology is bringing us to a turning point in terms of equality?
Yes. And we may see the creation of the most unequal societies that ever existed in human history.
What is this technology that's changing the shape of the workforce and the military? Artificial intelligence.
Part 2. The useless.
One of the main impacts of the rise of artificial intelligence will be on the job market. As artificial intelligence improves and it outperforms humans in more and more tasks.
Now you might think we've heard all this before. We've even made an edition of the Inquiry asking what will happen when robots take our jobs. But stay with us. We're pretty sure at least some of what follows will surprise you. So, artificial intelligence.
It's things like a self-driving car replacing human drivers. It's Google Translate replacing human translators. It's AI doctors replacing human doctors, and so forth and so on.
And Yuval Harari believes artificial intelligence is going to have a profound effect on inequality, because workers replaced by it will, he thinks, lose their economic value and, in turn, their political value.
To give again a concrete example, at present you have truck drivers and taxi drivers and bus drivers in the UK. Each of them commands a small share of the transportation market, and they also gain political power because of that. For example, they can unionize, and if the government does something they don't like, they go on strike, and the entire transportation system is shut down.
That's the situation today.
Now, fast forward 30 years. All the vehicles are self-driving. There is just, you know, one corporation that controls the algorithm, that controls the entire transport market. Not only all the economic power that previously was shared between millions of people is now in the hands of this single corporation, but all the political power is also in their hands.
He says this type of scenario could play out across many different industries. Lawyers, accountants, soldiers, and many others could lose their jobs, even, sadly, journalists. Yuval Harari's point is that unprecedented wealth and power will be concentrated in the hands of a tiny number of corporations and those who own them. And everyone else?
They form a new kind of class, the useless class.
That's me and you, you know.
People who are useless from the viewpoint of corporations and armies, of the economic and military system.
And when you're useless,
the state loses the incentive to invest in your health and education and welfare.
A perilous position to be in.
It's very dangerous to be redundant. It's very easy to toss you overboard because they don't really need you.
Yuval Harari says artificial intelligence isn't the only kind of technological change we should be watching carefully. There's another, and this time, it's personal.
Part 3. Superhumans.
For most of history, death was the great equalizer. Humans had control of the world outside them. They could control the rivers and the forests and the animals and the plants, but they had very little ability to manipulate and engineer their own bodies and brains and minds. So the rich used their power to build palaces and to build roads and bridges and cathedrals, but they couldn't really change their bodies or their brains.
They couldn't stop illnesses happening.
Exactly.
They certainly couldn't cheat death.
No. And you have, you know, a long list of kings and emperors and sultans dying from food poisoning and from gangrene and from all kinds of things, just like the lowliest peasant.
We all die in the end. But even now, the rich do tend to live longer, healthier lives than the poor. In the US, the richest 1% of men live about 15 years longer than the poorest on average. That's a big difference.
But this is nothing compared to what might happen in the coming century.
The game changer, Yuval Harari says, is this.
It might become possible to extend human life indefinitely.
These days, he says, death is seen as a mere technical problem. Just look at the rapid developments in bioengineering.
The technology of rejuvenating organs or replacing organic parts with inorganic parts, like replacing your organic hand with a bionic hand.
It won't be long, he says, before we figure out how to slow the aging process dramatically.
Once you're able to extend life to, say, 120 or 150, you can extend it indefinitely. If you can reach 150, you can reach to be 1,000 or 1,000,000.
Why would that worsen inequality?
Because it's very likely that, at least at first, all these new treatments will be extremely expensive and will not be available for the masses. So the rich may live longer and have healthier lives on a different scale than previously in history. With the use of bioengineering, they may even enhance their abilities.
The rich could have not only enhanced bodies, he says, but enhanced brains.
Our mental states, our intelligence, our ability to concentrate, they are all affected by electrochemical processes in the brain. So the basic idea is we can start manipulating that just by giving electrical impulses or stimulations to select part of the brain.
It sounds like science fiction, but
experiments are being done today.
One experiment involves kit which attaches electrodes to your head to stimulate your brain.
The US military is already using such helmets in training,
putting them on the heads of snipers to sharpen their powers of concentration and speed up their reactions.
A more radical path that is being explored is to directly connect brains and computers. Just imagine that you can access with your thought the internet or cyberspace, that maybe you can connect several brains together through one computer to create an interbrain net. So you could connect to other people directly, just with your mind. The implications are mind-boggling, literally.
Well, I could just straight away imagine that it could have positive benefits. I mean, the ideas meetings we have for this programme, The Inquiry, would be so much more efficient if we could just think as one.
Yeah, I mean, the benefits are enormous, but there are also dangers. And one of the dangers is that if these kind of enhancements are available just to one class or just to one country and not available universally, then humankind will split.
Some humans will be simply better
yes.
than others. The rich ones. Because in a kind of bodily arms race, those with the most money will be able to purchase the greatest advantages. So economic inequality could translate into biological inequality, Yuval Harari believes.
For the first time in history, the rich will actually be more talented than everybody else. I mean, previously, the aristocracy would always say, we are the aristocracy because we are better than everybody else. We are more creative. We are more talented. But today, we think this was just a myth. All the dukes and duchesses, they were not more talented than the peasants. It was just mythology. But in the 21st century, this may become reality.
The poor, or poorly enhanced, won't be able to compete with these new superhumans, and they might not want to anyway.
It will make sense to give to them all the power and all the privileges.
Because they'll be more intelligent than everyone else. But when this new superhuman elite attains complete power, what then? Well, Yuval Harari says, things could get very weird indeed.
Part 4. Hail to the algorithm.
Technological change could create greater inequality than has ever been seen before. But till now, we've been talking about inequality between humans. Yuval Harari says the final inequality could put all humans, even those with enhanced brains, on the same side.
We could reach a point in which all humans, including the elite, lose control because the system is so complicated. You need so much data and so much computing power to understand what is happening that no human being is able to do so.
So you've shown us how technology could greatly increase inequality between humans. But you think it's taking us to a point where the equality battle is between humans and machines.
It could reach that point, yes.
In fact, Yuval Harari says we're already seeing a glimpse of this.
You can apply to your bank for a loan, and the bank will give your application to an algorithm to process. And the algorithm goes over massive amounts of data about you and statistics about millions of other people to recognize patterns, who is returning a loan and is creditworthy and who isn't. And the algorithm decides not to give you a loan. And the bank says, sorry, we don't give you a loan. And you ask the bank why, and the bank says, we don't know, the algorithm said no. And we trust the algorithm.
We've already lost sight of the calculations some algorithms are doing on our behalf. It's a leap, admittedly, but Yuval Harari says algorithms processing enormous quantities of perfect data will be so much better at decision-making than humans that it will make sense to give them control over more and more areas of our lives until eventually they control everything.
What happens beyond that point, we have absolutely no idea.
This future, a future in which machine intelligence completely eclipses humans, is beyond our understanding, a concept I found difficult to grasp. If the algorithms in control, would humans have any use on Earth?
We don't know, because the whole point is, if you can imagine something, it's still not beyond you. The idea of having something more intelligent than a human means, by definition, that a human cannot second guess it. A human cannot imagine it. We might reach a point when we cannot second guess the algorithm.
At the moment, because human being is the most intelligent creature on Earth, we control Earth, for better or worse. We have control of the animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. Could you foresee algorithms using humans in the same way? I mean, could we become the pets of robots or even their fuel?
Nah, I think this is too much like Hollywood science fiction and too little science. Now, I don't see robots using us as kind of pigs or cows, like in The Matrix, because they don't eat meat, and there are much better sources of energy in the universe than human beings. So our fate could be just to become irrelevant and redundant.
And possibly extinct?
And yes, possibly extinct.
It's a dystopian vision. But Yuval Harari says we need to think about what could go wrong.
I focused most of the time on the downside because you hear so much about the upside. You don't need another book that just tells you how wonderful artificial intelligence and bioengineering will make our lives.
And yet the future he's described in this program.
It's a scenario. It's not deterministic. We can still do something about it, but we have to be aware that this is one possibility that we are facing. And if we don't like this possibility, we need to act before it's too late.
And what choices do we have to avoid this scenario?
We have lots of choices, from the level of governments to the level of individuals.
And at the moment, he says, we're all asleep on the job, unaware of what's going on.
The most important asset today in the world is your personal data and your biometric data about your body, about your brain, about your DNA. And we are giving it for free to corporations and government in exchange for free emails and funny cat videos. So one question that needs to be at the center of the political discussion is who owns the data? Because this data will make it possible to basically control the world and to change the course of evolution.
Is inequality about to get unimaginably worse? It might do. Power could shift to a small elite to own and control the algorithms and the data which feed them, on which almost everything will depend. The masses, no longer economically useful, could form a vast underclass. Artificial intelligence and bioengineering could turn the rich into superhumans, making this elite more talented than everyone else. But in time, power could shift again. The human elite could be eclipsed by artificial intelligence. And at that point, inequality really would be, quite literally, unimaginable. We can't imagine what life might be like with supercomputers in charge. Our puny human brains are not capable of it. What we do know is that technology is propelling us towards a future for which most of us are completely unprepared. Yuval Harari, our expert witness, is urging us to think about how we want the future to be, while we still have a chance to shape it. The Inquiry was presented by me, Ruth Alexander. It was produced in London by Estelle Doyle. Our editor, for the last time, at least for quite a while, was Richard Knight. And you can send us your ideas. You can find us on Twitter, where we're at BBC The Inquiry. Now, you might also like the podcast Witness, history told by the people who were there. There are 5 Witness podcasts a week, 9 minutes long, and there's an incredible archive to delve into.